Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 137. Tonight we've got Thomas.
Hello.
Mike.
Hello.
Gavin.
Hi.
And me, Benny. Thomas, well, Gavin's our guest this week, so everyone say hi to Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
Gavin. Sorry about that. Everyone say hi to Gavin.
Hi, Gavin.
I'm winging it this time, so might be better than my last time. Okay, Thomas, what did you do this week in guns?
I didn't do much. I did actually get out to the range today, and I was really surprised. It was a beautiful day out there. It was hot. There was nobody there. I had the whole range to myself. But there was a fair amount of wind, so I couldn't, you know, past 50 yards, my shots really opened up a little bit. But it was kind of – because we're right beside a swamp, I made a point. I said, okay, I'm not going to get eaten alive today. I'm going to wear jeans. I'm going to wear a long-sleeve shirt. And I get there, and it's got to be 90 degrees, and there was no bugs anywhere. So I took my shirt off, didn't get bit once, and I just played with the 10/22, my AR. I got to get a scope for that AR because the red dot, forget about any precision at 100 yards. It just obscures the target. At 50 yards, I was getting half decent hits. But after that, it's not worth it. So I'm kind of like that Leopold, that 1-4 or that 1-5 that's got the aluminum reticle in the center.
Yeah.
But I don't have $600. But the one that
That in Bushnell? Is it Bushnell? They make one. There's someone else. Vortex does make one, though.
Yeah, Vortex makes one, nice. And I was offered listener Jason. Actually, he just bought the Vortex, and he's trying to sell me his Bushnell.
Yeah. What red dot are you using right now?
With the Spark 2.
Spark 2? Okay.
I got the Spark 2 because I found out – originally I got it for the compensated 22 with a red dot because I found that the Bushnell on that outside – indoors, it was great. Outside, bright sunlight, you'd lose a dot instantly. So that's why I got the Spark 2. But I found indoors, the Spark 2 is actually too bright. It's super, super bright. Outdoors, it's great. So, who's the guy that won? Who's the guy in the International Liberty Death Podcast with Tyler? What's his name?
Matt.
Matt won a really nice, Leopold. Was it Leopold at the charity shoot last year? What he won is what I wanted. I put most of my tickets in that box, and he won it. But that's what I wanted was that.
But poor Thomas won a gun instead.
Oh, it's a rough life sometimes.
I know. It's hard being Thomas.
It has its moments. It has its moments. What about you, Mike? What you doing guns this week?
Sarah and I got out to the range. We did a lot of good accuracy type practice. So a lot of just focusing on front sight and seeing how our shots hit, you know, even when your sights aren't perfectly on target, kind of almost more of a, so that we'll know when we're shooting a match, you know, if we have the front sight on the target, you know, how far off can we be and still hit, you know, the down zero. So it's kind of a, you know, how precise do you need to be? We also did some 25 yard shooting just to kind of hone it in. It was good. I learned that I need to grip my gun a lot harder all the time. I noticed that when I'm doing a drill, like, you know, maybe in from 10 yards and it's like a speed drill, like how many rounds can you dump down range and keep them all in the zero? I grip my gun way harder than I do normally. And I think I need to teach myself to grip it that hard all the time. So I'll have the recoil control.
Now, is this with the pistol or the revolver?
Revolver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just did some chronographing of my 38 special and I'm 0.1 grain away from the max load. And it's still falling short of my power factor. Power factor is 120 for I-Core, and I'm hitting an average of 115. So I'm either going to have to find another powder or move up to 357. Because I don't think that 0.1 of a grain is going to make enough of a difference.
Always ground your powder.
Well, it's not an issue with how much I can fit into the casing. It's how much...
You'll have more surface area, so it should burn faster. That was a joke, people. Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, we discussed that a couple weeks ago when everybody was making his cannon powder. Don't grind your powder. Now, is this with 38s that you're trying to make the power factor with?
Yeah. 38 with a 158 Cam Pro.
With powder?
Tight group.
What's the maximum load that they recommend for it?
3.9 grains, and I'm using 3.8. And I think I compared it to my IDPA loads, and I think they're running at about, they're actually running at the minimum load of 3.5 grains, I think, and their power factor of 111. So it only went up, I guess, a factor of 4 power factor, and I went almost the entire from minimum to maximum. So I don't think that extra 0.1 is going to make much of a difference.
Probably not. You're probably losing a lot of gases through the BC gap. That's probably what's doing it to you. You're probably better off going up 357.
Yeah, well, that was one thought. The pain in the butt thing is that I have all the 38 special brass now. But, oh, well.
Practice.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Benny, what did you get up to this week?
So I took my a good friend of mine who for the longest time was very much not into guns and scared of guns and doesn't want to touch a gun. And I managed to whittle him down over the course of 25 years to – no, I'm kidding. I've only started convincing him about the past year or so to go shooting. So I finally got into a shooting today.
Took him. Hold on. I thought you went shooting with Gavin.
Well, we met Gavin at the range.
What did Gavin scared?
It wasn't for Gavin. Gavin under the bus for a second there.
Oh, no. We met Gavin at the range. But we got there. We managed to skip the cyclists that were blocking everyone's drive from Beansville to the range. I was only stuck for them for two or three minutes. Gavin, I believe you said you were stuck there half an hour, 45 minutes?
Oh, at least half an hour, if not longer, yeah.
Yeah, so I was lucky. So I showed my buddy, he got to shoot my Tavor, he got to shoot my Jericho. I'm not 1,000% sure how the trap range works at Silverdale, and I don't feel like paying to shoot Clay so much, so he didn't get to shoot my shotgun. I brought my dad's Ruger American too, so he got to shoot a bolt action. Yeah, it's a good thing I put together boxes of like my quote unquote new shooter box for people who like haven't shot before. So I'd have like ammo set aside so they don't just like shoot all my reserves. Because with the steel match 2 weeks ago and the carbon course coming up in a month or so, I have to I'm running low on ammo. So if I don't get my reloading down soon, I'm going to be short ammo in the coming summer. But I had ammo for my friend, so he got to shoot pretty well, and he did really well. I was quite surprised. He was shooting the Jericho is actually shooting better than I am. He's closer to the center of the target. I tend to shoot low left, low right. He was shooting on par, a little bit to the right. So
That was good.
And since, as everyone knows now, Gavin was there, and thanks to him, I got to shoot a VZ-58, which was really cool. And hopefully, I can convince my dad to buy one now. JR Carbine, which also I'm thinking I have to add to my collection, and a 458 Win Mag, which Gavin, having shot that once, I'm good to go, and thank you for giving me that experience.
They're peppy.
I've never even heard of that before.
It was a lever action. Was it a lever or a bolt?
It's a Ruger A1, so falling block.
Okay.
Like single shot lever action essentially. But yeah, 458 Win Mag was designed as a dangerous game cartridge for hunting in Africa and being able to stop a charging large animal very quickly. It's like a 400 grain bullet or something ridiculous like that. if you know the size of a 4570 case, it's slightly bigger.
Yeah, I just found a picture, and I'll put this into the show notes. That thing looks ridiculous.
Well, they're huge.
Like, doesn't even look like there's even a shoulder on it. It just looks like a straight wall case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bigger than my index finger.
Gee. That's awesome.
It's ridiculous. Like, I mean, the projectile on it is if you kind of look at your pinky finger and like, from the tip to that first crease is pretty much the size of the projectile.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I got to do that. Thank you, Gavin, again.
You're very welcome.
I started to try and reload my 9mm, and I have 50 rounds primed and belled to see the bullet. So, okay, now it's time to try and figure out how to do powder. So I filled up my perfect powder measure, and it says, you know, you're supposed to run a pound through it. So I poured like a third of the bottle in, because it doesn't fit a whole pound in there. Opened it up to its max, and then ran it 3 times. Like, filled the hopper up, ran it, emptied the hopper. Filled the hopper up, emptied the hopper.
So you got your other box in from Budget Shooting Supply then, because you never had that last week.
Yeah. So I got that last week. Or 2 weeks ago, I didn't have that. I got that last week. So that's running, I guess. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how they work with the cubic centimeters and stuff, and getting an accurate throw.
The perfect powder measure, that's the Lee one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just volumetric, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's supposed to be, like, they have like a mathematical equation to get you supposed to be close. So I did that, and I was only half the charge, unless I did it completely wrong. So
I don't know. That's what comes with the Lee anniversary kit. And I guess this goes to show I didn't read my manual as well as Benny did, but I just winged it, and I just kind of adjusted it and just kind of kept adjusting it until I got the powder drop I wanted, and then once I did that. You know, you fine tune it. You do a couple of drops to make sure it's all consistent, and that's pretty much all I did.
So I thought I got it like roughly the right size, and so then I did that. I ran 10 and then weighed it, and then I was at like 43 point something, and I was trying to get the lowest power,
the min load,
just 4 point. Yeah, minimum load, which is 4.1. And I'm having a little trouble doing that. So then eventually I got something that was somewhere in the middle, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to figure this out later. Let's see if I can seek the bullet, because I don't remember why I decided to do that. So I go and I try and seek the bullet, and it's not seating, and I have no idea what's going on. And I'm fiddling around with it. Eventually I'm like, oh, look, there's a, what are those things called where you're supposed to crunch the case into the bullet? Something with a seat. Come on, Mike, you know this.
Let's crunch my case into, you're talking about the cantilever line.
Cantilever line, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, look, there's a cantilever line. I'm like, wait a second, this didn't have one before. So apparently in fiddling with my thigh and trying to get it to seat the bullet properly, I managed to scrape the bottom half of my bullet. So it's sitting in there pretty loose now. And I gotta read the instructions on how to use, my bullet seating die. So yeah.
You have to flare the case before you actually try to seat it.
Right. So I have flared them, and I haven't flared it enough, or in conjunction to not flaring the case enough, I tried to seat the bullet too far in the die. If you know what I mean? Like, that apparently happens. you're not supposed to put the whole case in the bullet seating die, and I was doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I just buy a factory ammo. No problem.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's kind of hard to visualize, but I think I have an idea. When you bell your case, though, when you put the round on it, it kind of sits in it a little bit, though, right? Like, it's not, like, sitting on top of it falling over, right?
It's not sitting on top, but it's not sitting that deep either. Like, I don't know how deep.
Sit in just a little bit, just so it's not going to fall out.
Yeah.
It should be able to rest in the case without falling out.
Yeah.
But not fall into the case.
Right. Yeah.
So that's doing that. I think I just have to fix my bullet seating die then, because I think it was set too high up. So, I put in a factory, round in, and that wouldn't insert completely into the die, even if the bullet seating, measure or whatever was really far out. It still wouldn't insert all the way. So I'm assuming that the thing that counters the belling is so far into the die that you're actually not supposed to fully insert your,
your case. If that makes any sense.
I understand what you're saying. I just can't picture what my setup looks like right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll send you guys pictures after the show.
Okay.
You can see my mangled bullet.
Or maybe you'll win another case of ammo with the charity shoot this year.
That would be very appreciated. Yes. Ammo is greatly appreciated, no matter what form it comes in.
Yeah.
And that's all I did. Gavin, what did you do this week in guns?
Oh man, what didn't I do this week? I received the last couple of pieces to get my practice precision rifle all sorted, so it is a Mossberg MVP in the MDT LS chassis that I put the Magpul PRS stock on.
Cool.
And now have a Atlas bipod on, so that's all good to go and everything just how I want it, how I'm going to build my 308 to match it, and then beef up my 338 as well, so I've kind of got, you know, the youngest brother, the middle brother, and the eldest brother, if you will. So that was at the beginning of the week. On Friday, I took the day off and went with my girlfriend up to her cousin's place to shoot some photos for the CCFR Gunny Girl calendar.
I saw those. Those were really, I really liked the smoke. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so those are the two that we really liked, but we're not submitting. The one that we are submitting hasn't been posted yet. But I submitted that today, so we got all of that done. On Saturday, I went and shot the OAS, Shotgun League match at Galt. And then, this morning I woke up and found out that I won a sweet new, Molly tactical belt from a great Canadian company called Persec Aware. So that was a pretty awesome, wake up to that, and then packed up my bags and went off to the range to meet Benny and his friend and shot some guns today. So
awesome.
It was a busy week in guns.
That's not a bad thing.
No.
Especially when you win free stuff.
Yeah. So what was this shotgun match like? Was it kind of like an action shooting match with clays and steel and running around?
Yeah. So this is their second year, and this was their second match of the year. But yes, it's, OAS is Ontario Action Shooting. So it's basically action shooting with shotgun only, and it is a mix of, you know, steel targets, clays, some of the stages. We didn't have any yesterday, but sometimes it's, you know, slugs on cardboard. Sometimes you've got flyers or rollers. I mean, it's a pretty varied,
it's a little bit of shooting. Everything.
Yeah. Some of the props are a real pain in the butt. There was this one roller that, man, if you don't hit it right,
yeah,
or you run your gun dry at the wrong time, it can really add time to your score. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. The weather was hot. The bugs were out. I haven't seen the scores posted yet. They had a bit of a delay posting them, so I have no idea how I did. The one stage that I should have done really bad at, I did pretty decent at least for my shooting ability. And then one of the other stages I should have done really well, I completely just dropped the ball on it. You never know what's going to happen when that beep goes.
Yeah. That's good. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I highly recommend anyone come out. Like, it's a league thing, but they also open up a bunch of spaces to non-league members. So the next one is Canada Day weekend. So
there's about five or six different clubs that are involved in this, isn't there?
Yes, six of them, I believe.
Yeah, because I remember last year you mentioned it in the show, so I actually looked it up, but it was booked up.
Yeah, they do fill up pretty quickly, but I can let you guys know when the registration for the next one is. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's.
We should check it out, Benny.
Yeah.
Fortunately for Benny, a lot of the matches are on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Like most fun things, it seems.
Well, Benny has fun on Saturdays. He just doesn't go shooting, that's all.
Yeah.
You guys wish you ate the kind of lunches I had on Saturdays. Got my gefilte fish, my chicken soup.
It doesn't sound like there's enough bacon in there for me, so I don't know.
Nalcadina takes very good care of them.
Yeah. Okay. Guns in the news. Mind,
Benny, he's the lead host this week, right?
Yeah. Guns in the news. Thomas, you want to take story one?
Sure. Ruger has a recall on the new Mark IV pistols. Ruger recently discovered that all Mark IV pistols, including the 2245 models manufactured prior to June 1st, 2017, have the potential to discharge unintentionally if the safety is not utilized correctly. In particular, if the trigger is pulled while the safety lever is midway between the safe and fire position, that the safety may not fully engage. Then the pistol may not fire when the trigger is pulled. However, if the trigger is released and the safety lever is then moved to the mid position, it will fire. Only a small percentage of pistols appear to be affected, and Ruger is not aware of any injuries. But they would like to retrofit all potentially affected pistols with an updated safety mechanism. Until your Mark IV pistol has been retrofitted or you verify that it is not subject to the recall, they strongly suggest that you do not use the pistol. All Mark IV pistols produced between June 1st, 2017 are potentially affected and therefore are being recalled. This includes all of the new Mark II series pistols. Firearms not subject to recall are anything the serial numbers that start with 500. So if you have a Mark IV or a 2245 and the first prefix number is a 5, you're not subject to recall. Or if you buy a used gun or you go to some store and you want to verify that it has been retrofitted, there'll be an S in the safety dot. It'll be visible when you engage the safety. There's also a link on their website where you can put in your serial number and they can tell you exactly whether your firearm has been affected or not. So the link is in the show notes. If you do have one of these pistols, go on and check it out and see if your gun is subject to recall. Odds are anything in Canada it will be subject to recall. Because they move so slowly, it'll be all the old stock in Canada right now. What's story two, Benny?
Story two, more liberal lies. Did the RCMP Deputy Commissioner Peter Henschel lie to committee? He claimed the RCMP deleted remaining Quebec records in the Canadian Firearms Information System between April 10th and April 12th, 2015, on June 4th, 2015. This is by Christopher Damrini. Sorry. As you know, Minister of Public Safety Ralph Goodenough introduced Bill C-52 on Friday. That bill is, for the most part, designed to give Quebec the all of the long gun registry records it sought in its lawsuit against the federal government. The question everyone asks me is this: why are there any records left to give Quebec? It's a valid question. On March 27, 2015, Quebec lost the case to obtain registry data in Quebec. Attorney General versus Canada Attorney General, 2015 at SCC 14-2015 1SCR 693. Federal Information Commissioner Susan Legault did not file her preservation order for Quebec long gun registry data until June 3, 2015. According to Deputy Commissioner Peter Henschel, testimony before a committee on June 4, 2015, the data in question was already deleted. I would like to now focus, this is the author speaking, on the destruction of the registration records. Contrary to what has been reported, the RCMP did not, and I will repeat, did not destroy any registration data before becoming into force of the Ending Long Gun Registry Act on April 15, 2012. Consistent with the government-approved implementation plan, the RCMP destroyed the records between October 26, 2012 and October 31, 2012, with the exception of the Quebec records, which were maintained pending the outcome of the Supreme Court decision. When that decision was rendered on March 27, 2015, the RCMP deleted the remaining Quebec records from the Canadian Firearms Information System between April 10th to April 12th, 2015. Again, consent with the government approved inflation plan. I would note here that the destruction process was subject to an audit that was externally verified for October 2012 destruction. The same process is underway to verify the destruction of the Quebec data. How is it possible for the Liberal government to give Quebec gun registry data deleted by the RCMP no later than April 12th, 2015?
Chris also posted today, he put a second link on that. So I put the link in the show notes because apparently somebody did keep a copy. There's supposed to be a hard drive with the data on it that shouldn't even exist. So if you want to continue this further, we put a link in the show notes and Chris explains about this other part. But he's been really following all this stuff. So
if the long gun registry was such a bust, why do you have a restricted long, registry?
Well,
because they're more dangerous.
They're more dangerous. Yeah. The data, you know, any data that they have is going to be totally inaccurate anyway, because how many times do we sell firearms and trade firearms? Like, any names that are in there, I bet you a third of the guns don't even exist in the possession of those people anymore.
Yeah, but you don't really want the RCMP or your local police knocking at our front door and be like, we're looking for the last owner of this shotgun. And, you know, I don't think the Mike from Kenmore story is really going to fly. As much as I wish it would, I don't think it's going to fly.
Well, you don't have to keep records. You can just say, I don't remember. You're not required to keep the data of anybody's cells. You're only required to verify that that person has a valid firearms license. You're not required to keep data for yourself. So you can say, I sold it to a guy that didn't sell.
That is true.
They will push you for it.
Well,
but,
here's a thought, though. If you complied the first time, why would you assume that someone's not going to comply the second time?
Yeah, that is true.
So, just saying. It's not exactly like, you know, at one point, every gun was registered when you bought it. But, you know, if you already had it, it wasn't registered. So, if you're going to be that pain in the butt before, you're probably going to be that pain in the butt again for that officer coming around. So.
But yeah, I mean, if it was a government mandate that this was destroyed and now they found a hard drive with this stuff on it, shouldn't somebody's head be on the chopping block, like, for not following orders? Like, and then that data should be destroyed immediately because that was what was supposed to have happened to it? Like,
yeah.
The more and more I listen to your show, Gavin, the more and more I don't think that ever happens. What happens to government employees when they don't listen?
They get promoted to a different department.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
But like
the threat of losing an election isn't really a threat anymore, because most of the time they just, you know, they put spin on it and then they still win the next election.
Yeah.
And no one really answers for their crimes. So.
And you just make sure that you do all the stuff that you know people aren't going to like at the beginning of your term, so that by the end of your term, people already forgot. I mean,
or you just lessen the problems that you created in the first place. You know, look, I took away this problem that you're all complaining about.
Well, my big issue is that they're asking for the data for the entire country, not just Quebec. Apparently the disc that's from, if you go into Chris's, there's a link in the stone notes for part two. The data that's apparently in the disc is for the entire country. So why should Quebec have access to any data from any other province? You know,
That's none of their business.
Quebec is one of these provinces where they get almost double. The federal government always bows to Quebec. They get double the transfer payments. They do everything Quebec ever wants. Quebec never gets turned down for anything, ever.
Well, I'm sorry. I believe that list is probably in English, so they shouldn't allow it in government then, right?
Exactly. That's their point. If they're bilingual, they shouldn't have it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the next story actually leads into what happens when people have data they're not supposed to.
Mike, you want to take story three?
Sure. So, story three, property rights, privacy, integrity, and firearms and the firearm community. So this is commentary from the CSSA's members' newsletter. The CSSA is expressing its disappointment regarding the action of a fellow Canadian firearm advocacy group in the rising waters of a CPC membership list scandal poised to drown that group. The CSSA condemns the actions of the NFA Association, or sorry, the National Firearms Association, the NFA, and its use of improperly obtained data to solicit members and donations. The use of the improperly obtained membership list demonstrates a failure to comprehend the violation of the property rights and other organization, the Conservative Party of Canada, and the privacy rights of every individual on the list, including many CSSA members, stated Tony Bernardo, CSSA's executive director. After dozens of party members complained on social media about receiving solicitation letters from a third party, the Conservative Party of Canada issued a statement on Facebook on June 2, 2017, which we read in last week's show. Bernardo continued, "The CSSA applauds the Conservative Party for addressing this issue quickly and decisively. We trust they will conduct their investigation in a timely manner and deal with the offending parties accordingly. National News Watch confirmed the name of the organization using the stolen mailing list. CPC Party spokesman Corey Han later confirmed that the organization is the National Firearms Association. While it is not clear how the membership list came into the possession of the National Firearms Association, common sense dictates the use of that list is immoral, unethical, and very likely illegal. Daniel Fritter, editor of Caliber Magazine, wrote the following in a series of Facebook posts. The NFA obtained private Conservative Party membership information, including addresses, and used that information to send unsolicited membership surveys and forms to CPC members. This is nothing short of reprehensible. Such conduct is, in the opinion of everyone at Caliber, disgusting. We, gun owners, sure will take flak for it, but hashtag go away NFA. And just how in God's green earth did the NFA hope to represent gun owners to one gun-friendly party in the country after stealing their most important data and using it for profit? They're done. This is incredible shame. Incredible shame. But this is the sort of transgression that gun owners cannot allow and cannot forgive. We simply don't get it. Why would the experienced NFA leadership expect to get away with this when it is standard industry practice to quote-unquote salt membership lists with fake names and addresses precisely to deal with this type of privacy breach? One thing is certain, the National Firearms Association has destroyed its credibility with the only political party that supports the private ownership of firearms in Canada. Hardly a recipe for effective advocacy work. The CSSA is saddened and puzzled by these actions. They were unnecessary. For many years, Canadian gun organizations opposed the long gun registry. One of the key points was that data on a list could be illicitly obtained and used unethically. It appears they were right.
The thing that bothers me, the NFA hasn't said a word. Not a word on their webpage. Nothing from Gerald, nothing from Sheldon. They've been absolutely silent. No apologies, nothing.
What do they say, though, right?
Yeah, what are you supposed to say at that point?
Oops, my bad. Sorry.
Was it me? Like,
they're just following the trend they've been following for the past year or so.
Well, yeah, this is true.
Anything that's come out of the NFA for the past year has always been 3, 6 or more months behind everyone else.
They don't allow their members to say anything. They ban people constantly on their Facebook page. If you disagree with them, you're blocked, you're banned. Yes. I did get Sheldon Good, though. He posted on his page yesterday that he was so happy that he's lost 33 pounds. So I put a comment, well, if you read the CSSE newsletter, it may help you lose some more weight, but he never responded. So. And to get them even further, if you go into Wikipedia, like there's a thing in Wikipedia about the NFA, and they have the last scandal that they went through. And you can go in there and you can update it. I put the NFA news, the CSA newsletter in Wikipedia as well, too. So you can get all the information on Wikipedia about the NFA now, too.
Nice. I mean, I still don't think that the CPC has done enough about this. I mean, they did address it fairly quickly, but, you know, until they name names, I'm not going to be happy because they keep calling me asking for money. So they're not getting a penny until this whole thing is sorted out.
I want to see people being charged.
Yeah. I'd like to think that a political organization, though, also won't start pointing fingers without knowing for sure that it was actually them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, like, yeah, I understand. Agree. I want to see a head roll down the hill, but.
Yeah.
You want to make sure it's the right head.
Justice. Exactly.
I want real justice. Yeah. Like, I want the finger pointed at the right person and publicly named and then action taken.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they're notorious for not following up because there was quite a few people complained about not getting their ballots for the leadership election.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Gavin, I'd be more upset that you know people who haven't received their ballot.
They complained to party leaders and everything and didn't get any response, didn't get their ballot. Well, the leader was picked by 1%. It was a 1% lead. So if the people who got their ballots –
that's in question.
Yeah, even that's in question. So – they wouldn't even settle that. That's just been brushed under the rug. So who knows if they'll ever follow up, but I would like to see criminal charges against the NFA.
Yeah, they probably won't follow up on the whole candidate people not getting the ballot, because now they already named the leader. It's kind of embarrassing for them to turn around and go, oops, sorry, you know, pull a Steve Harvey and pull the crown back.
Yeah, but it would have been so good if Bernier won, because then no more transfer bans, no more this, no more anything else. But
I'm surprised that the Liberals haven't got a hold of that and really started carrying that ball, complaining about the election.
Too busy hammering Scheer for his social conservatism. But
and why hammer another party now when they're already winning? Like when they're already in power, they'll wait until it's election time, then they'll hammer them for it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then they won't do anything about the actual marijuana stuff until the next election. That was say, oh, well, we need another 4 years before we can do it. So,
oh yeah, we called that on CPP like before the election.
We were like, oh, yeah, you did.
This is a wedge issue. They are not going to get this. So
it's the long gun registry, but for Liberals.
Yeah, well, they'll do something. Yeah. They'll do
Trudeau
something.
Senior did the same thing. That's how he got elected when I was 18. He did it on the weed vote. It didn't go through. He said he'd give it the next time. They got in a second time, and then it just disappeared. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Sorry. That was my liberal rant for the night.
That was your one.
If you ever need to continue it, you can come on to CPP. We do one at least once weekly, sometimes twice.
Yeah, but that might involve drinking alcohol too. I don't know.
Probably.
Hey, Thomas, if you can do it sober, I think they'll let you. I think they'll let you go.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Benny. I hijacked that one.
That's fine. I think we all need to get that out of our system. So, what's new in the industry? Rumor has it NEA will be announcing their non-restricted rifle tomorrow. I'm sure everyone who has Instagram and is into guns has seen this picture of this rifle for, I don't know, 6 months longer. I'm sure everyone else is waiting to hear this thing, be announced. If it sounds like it's going, like if rumors had it, it was going to be somewhere around $1,000 or under $1,000. That would be, pretty cool, seeing as most rifles these days are costing, non-restricted are costing at least $1,200 and higher, and those are foreign imports. This is something made in Canada, and hopefully it will last. Anyone else have anything to add?
I heard rumors about 1600.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm looking 1500 right now, according to Canadian Firearms blog.
But then you think about it, the one that's made in Alberta, that's what, 2500?
I think for the basic model, yeah.
Yeah, just for the base model. So value-wise, it's going to be, well, just the base. So if you get anything with the bells and whistles, it's still, the NEA is still going to be half price.
Yeah, but anything in that, like, 1500 for, like, a tactical non-restricted rifle, like, that's that price point for, like, the cool factor, right? They're all in that range.
Yeah.
And it'll sell. It will sell.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear NEA quality has actually improved the last couple of years. So it may pick up.
It's funny, I was looking at something and someone at one of their products, and then someone had an issue with that product, and I said, nope. Although apparently they haven't improved. But it was quite funny. I was listening to the podcast, they're complaining on how this part broke, and I was like, maybe I'll order a different one.
I hear the customer service is really good though, unless you over torque it and then run wrong.
I'm siding with Mike on that one. I'm sorry. There's no torque specs in your instructions, and it's on
then
your
I
head.
Should be able to take a drill to it.
Yes. Agreed.
I've heard other stories about their customer service from somebody that had a bolt problem, but
oh yeah, I remember that one too.
Yeah.
The last email sent to them was quite hilarious, but less than kind.
Yeah.
Did they solve the bolt problem?
No, it is still pending. Like, they got a new one back quickly, but the extractor wasn't working properly on it or something. It was too tight. And then they, you know, emailed them back, and I guess they put ejector instead of extractor in the email or something, and the guy got all confused, so they had to like email them back, and I don't know. So it's still in progress, so hopefully he will get his bolt very soon.
Yeah.
So he can sell it.
So he can sell it. Yeah, I'm waiting to get my strike one back so I can sell it.
Okay, so Gavin, we have you on because you being a wonderful spokesperson for both Ragnarok Tactical and the 8th annual Canadian podcast for Share to Shoot, we have a couple questions for you this.
I thought it was because I was just good looking, but yeah,
that's why we have you on a video call.
Yeah. So, where is the podcast happening? Where is the shoot happening this year?
So, the shoot will be at Guelph Rod and Gun Club, obviously in Guelph, Ontario.
Okay. How much will it be? Who's hosting? Where can people register?
So, it will be $40 to enter into the competition, which includes obviously your entry, and it will also include a t-shirt from Tim's Good T-Shirts. They are quite good. And then there will also be a plate rack, which we are going to charge an additional $5 to compete at. And it's going to be best time takes the prize, which will be a 50-50 draw of all the money raised on that particular stage. So who's hosting it is a Canadian Patriot Podcast, and our good friends over at International Liberty or Death are helping out as well. Because Tyler is a good guy and great at stage design, and anytime you need someone to help out, he definitely will do that. So, and you can register at CanadianPatriotPodcast.com. If you click up at the top there, there's a little button that says 7th Annual Podcast Charity Shoot. Just click that, and it'll have a link to Practice Score. So you can register there.
Great, and people pay when they get there, correct?
Yes, you pay cash day of because we like cash.
Couldn't agree more. I may cancel 20 minutes before the course, but I might pay for the Ragnarok course with cash too. So,
yeah. Not a problem at all.
I may or may not actually end up going, but if I do, you know.
Not a problem. Cash is king.
The plate rack you mentioned, is one run included in your entry fee?
No.
Okay.
No. This is a totally separate thing because we know, we have designed the stages to be competitive, but not too competitive because we want new shooters to come out and try competitive shooting. So we decided that we would put something there for the guys that get really competitive.
Okay.
Because we know that, there's a good segment of, your listeners, our listeners, and everyone's else's podcast listeners that are sort of, the really competitive guys. So we wanted something that we could come out and have people that wanted something way more competitive.
Okay.
Show up and have some fun at it and really go head to head, but not intimidate somebody that has never come out and shot before. So
okay,
figured it would be a good fundraiser.
Yeah, I like the idea. Are people allowed to run the plate rack more than once?
Yeah, you can run it as many times as you want, but it's $5 to try. Best score wins. So okay. Nice and simple, but yeah, if you want to drop $100 on it to try and get that fastest time.
I'll drop $100 on it and I still won't get the fastest time.
But, we also figured, I put forth a personal challenge, and we figured that would be a good way to raise the funds is getting $5 every time someone pays in that because, I've, said if we raise enough money, I will get some tattoos. So.
Okay.
Tattoos in uncomfortable places for those who aren't aware.
Yeah, not the back of a Volkswagen, but, if we raise 10% over last year, which unfortunately I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, I will get the podcast logo. And then if we beat that by another 5%, I will get the Canadian Patriot podcast logo tattooed on my rear end.
So if you don't beat it, you get the new Shooter Canada logo tattooed on the other cheek?
Maybe I'll just make that the stretch goal. If we beat it by 50%, maybe I'll do that.
You heard that, guys.
I hope you do. I really hope you do.
Yeah, no, I'm really hoping that I'm not hoping I end up with a butt tattoo, but I am hoping I do because it's all going for a good cause, and at least then I'll have a funny story about it.
Yeah. A lot better than just I was drunk in Tijuana.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, if you guys want, I can run through the stages that we have, to give everybody a bit of a flavor of what's going on.
Great. That was my next question.
Awesome. It's like I have some notes in front of me so I can answer these questions before you even ask. So stage one is going to be a maple seed stage. So because maple seed is one of our sponsors, we've decided to use their qualifying target as one of our stages. Unfortunately, you will not receive qualification if you manage to hit that magic number, but those guys will be there and you can, you know, get some swag from those guys and stuff like that, because they will actually be ROing that stage. But it'll give you a good chance to see how you stack up and hopefully then go out and compete for real in one of their matches. So the round count for that will be 40 rounds of rifle. Stage two is going to be a pistol stage. We're going to do an El Presidente drill on steel. So it's going to be 3 2-3 IDPA steel targets. So you basically do two rounds, mandatory reload, two rounds. We have talked about potentially throwing in a barricade if there is one available, just to make it a little bit more challenging, but not crazy challenging.
Okay.
So yeah, round count for your pistol will be 12 rounds if you hit everything.
Okay.
Stage three is going to be a fun one. We are dubbing it the helicopter ride.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so what we're going to have is a suspended platform that you are going to have to be shooting prone on with 7 targets. You got to hit each one twice, so 14 rounds again for rifle. And then the last stage will be a shotgun stage, which is going to be another 14 reactive targets, a mix of plates and clays. And you start with 4 rounds in the gun and then go from there. You can load more if you want, or you can shoot and reload. And then, like I said, we also have the plate rack going, so.
Okay. Sorry, what was the distance for those stages?
Okay, so maple seed is the first one, is 25 yards. Pistol will be 7 yards. The rifle stage, where you're shooting prone from the platform, will be 25 yards. And the shotgun will be a bit different because I don't know if you guys have ever shot at Guelph. There's that long, skinny action bay.
No, I've never been there.
So they have a very long, skinny one. So that's where we're going to hold the shotgun stage. So you will be moving forward as you shoot.
Okay.
I believe. So the range will vary a little bit, but it will not be exceeding 25 yards.
Okay. For shotgun, is it all birdshot?
Yeah, 7.5 or smaller.
7.5 or smaller. Okay. Oh, that brings up another question. Are there any other caliber restrictions?
Nope.
No?
Just your budget, really. I mean, if you want to come and bring your 50 cal Desert Eagle for the handgun stage, by all means do, but it may be a little expensive. The ranges we're shooting on are all rated to basically anything you could possibly bring, so...
Okay.
You're good. I mean, if you do manage to get your, you know, NEA non-restricted 308 before the match, you bring it on out. It'll just be more expensive. Yeah.
So Firearms Outlet, if you're listening, I will take sponsorship for shooting this with the Desert Eagle, if you guys need.
Hey, you have to lend them the gun too.
I will take that burden. I will shoot 50 Action Express if someone fits the bill for all those stages.
We actually had a guy at our cancer shoot last November bring his Desert Eagle out for the pistol stage. And then he was actually nice enough to let people try it after. So
that's awesome.
They're a nice shooting.
Yeah, it kicks a little bit. But they're fun. I mean, huge fireball, so.
Okay, so when you're talking about the rifle stages, are you requiring center fire, rim fire?
We have categories for both, I believe, we've put in there, so that you can do rim fire or center fire, but we will take it all. I mean, you're shooting at paper, so you don't even have to worry about, you know, steel core ammo. So if you want to run, you know, your SKS and Irk Trevor, please do so. We know he will enjoy it. But yeah, you can, we want everyone to come out and have a good time. So, you know, run what you have. There will be loaner guns available for those that do not have everything, because we want everyone to be able to come out and have a good time and be able to. So okay. Don't worry if you don't have all the equipment. We all have more than enough gear to make you have everything you need to come out and do well.
Okay. So if you need some gear, should they email ahead of time to say, hey, I don't have a 22 rifle for the maple seed one or something like that?
No, we will have all that stuff there for the most. I mean, if they want to touch base with us ahead of time, that's always better, but they don't have to.
Okay.
Because we're all going to just bring all of our guns probably, so okay. There'll be more than enough loaners that we can work around it.
What about ammunition for the loaners?
It will be easier if you bring your own. But if not, we will have ammunition there available to purchase already portioned out for you for the stages.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not sure what the prices are, because that depends on how much we pay for it at the time.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I wouldn't expect you to.
Yeah. But no, we will not be, you know, jacking the price up on it. So don't. For those of you that don't want to, you know, there might be a couple of extra bucks in there, but that'll all go to the charity as well. But yeah. It'll be, you know, it'll be market value for the most part, so.
Okay. Sorry, Benny, I'm hijacking your interview again.
And you notice how he didn't say that the compensated 22 with a red dot was not disallowed this year.
No, you run whatever you want. We don't care. I mean, we were joking on the weekend that, I mean, because Tyler and I both shoot in the open category, that anything should be fair game and open. So if you want to throw smoke bombs other contestants while you're shooting and they're shooting, that should be totally fine because it's open.
Well, so. while you're doing the plate rack, when you're trying to knock someone else down, yeah, that could be useful.
Yeah. So yeah, no, we don't want to put any restrictions on anybody's fun. So come on.
Very libertarian shoot. You guys.
Yeah. Come on and shoot what you have. That's the fun part, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you bring a 22 for everything, you may get ridiculed, but if you win,
you still get to go. You still get to go home with the trophy. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Gavin, what kind of divisions are you guys going to do? Is it just going to be okay? This guy showed up with a single shot bolt action Cooey, so we'll put him in his own division, or are you guys going to have set divisions?
No. So I think we have. I have to look at the thing, but I think we have handicapped, which is basically going to be like, if you do bring a 22, we'll put you in handicapped. If you bring anything else, you're in the other, you know, we're not going to go on like optics or, you know, like, oh, well, this guy's got a, you know, ported choke on it and a red dot on his shotgun and a, you know, plus 32. No, like it's, I think we just put it down to handicapped and standard and then okay. That's it. Nice and simple.
So no senior division for Thomas?
No.
Hey, it's super senior now.
Okay.
I'm still bringing on my 22s.
Yeah, bring them. It'll be cheaper to shoot. Although
I'm sure
hitting some of those plates with a 22 may be a bit of a problem.
How far are the plates? At 7 yards?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, if you want to use that on the plate rack, you may not just knock them over, and that'll be the problem. I mean, if you want to get shrapnel flying back at you, that's your problem. I'm not worried about that.
I'd just bring my 9mm.
Would you be able to shoot any of the stages multiple times?
If time allows, we may let people do that, but...
Would you maybe set up a way that people can register again or put in a fee and then shoot them again?
Yes, we are hoping to be able to have time to do that. So if that's the thing, we'll let people reshoot for a discounted price if they wanted to do the whole thing again. But I guess right now we're still trying to see how many people we get signed up.
I'm not sure if we had time for that last year because it took everybody so long to get through the rifle stages. I don't think anybody went through twice because it took so long.
you guys finished at like 4, and afterwards people went back to just have some fun. So I think if anyone wanted to run the stages, was time last year anyways.
Oh, yeah, after.
Yeah, I believe that we have a hard cutoff at 6 o'clock because of some ridiculous bylaw.
Oh, yeah, I think you're going to be done long before that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will too. But, like, yeah, if we've got everybody through and there's extra time and people just want to go shoot them for fun, by all means, we want, like, this is a social event. We want people to come out and have fun. So that's not a problem at all. But, yeah, if we have time to people run through them again sort of officially, that is not a problem either. We just don't want to say, yes, you can do that, and then we start running out of time. Because we do have beer and chicken wings to consume after that as well for the after social event. So,
okay. Any big sponsors this year?
Yes. Many, many amazing sponsors. We have CCFR, Ragnarok Tactical, Spathen Tactical, Valkyrie Defense Group, CDN Gunworks, Highlander Tactical, S&J Hardware, Steam Whistle. This is the one that is basically going to be where I put all of my tickets in because it's a all expense paid tour for 10 people, which includes all the beer and food. We have Colt Canada, TDSA, Lands Shooting Supplies, Tactical Ordnance, 7.62 Systems, Titan Tactical, Griffin Energetics has sent me a case of Thundershot, Matador Arms is sending us a bunch of stuff. They are unbelievably generous. The CSSA, Project Maple Seed, Gray Fox Strategic, and One Shot Tactical is who we've got so far.
Now, my question,
maybe one or two more that we're still working on. So
now my question is, any guns to be won this year?
Yes, there is a shotgun up for grabs from the CDN S&J Spatha Tactical Group. I believe it is a Hatson that has been Cerakoted and the bolt has been tinned.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Are all those prizes lottery, or are they? Do you have prizes for people who shoot well, or how's that?
So how's that work? Yeah, we're gonna have some trophies to give out. So we're gonna have top three overall, and then we're gonna have a top three for each stage, just to sort of give some recognition. And then all the prizes, like the good prizes, will be raffles to help raise more money for the charity. But so
people should be bringing their fives. Yeah. Bring their $5 bills in them.
Bring, well, you know, like 20s or 50s work too. We'll take anything.
You'll take 100 too, I'm sure.
Yeah, if that's all you've got.
Is it $5 a ticket?
Sir John A's will be good, but yes, it's going to probably be $5 a ticket. And you just sort of, we'll have the little jars put out, and then everyone drops a ticket, and we'll draw them at the end.
Okay.
And no taking off of beers and wings where we have to track you down and actually tell you that you want a prize, so you have to come back. It's just, you got to stay there because all the food and everything's going to be there anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, put your phone number on it. We had a few people that had to leave early last time, but I mean, if that Steam Whistle comes up, we may have to just keep redrawing that one
until you get until the name you want.
That's true.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous now that it's, you know, just shy of a month away when we've been, you know, working on this for so long. When we did our charity shoot last year that we kind of threw together last minute, we kind of did the whole thing in a month. And it came together really well. This one we've had, you know, like 8 months or something ridiculous that we've been sort of going over this and putting it together and, you know, advertising it. And now it's less than a month and it's going to all be said and done and over. And it's going to be like, well, what do I do with my time now?
Yeah. So are there any other events associated with the charity shoot? Like I know myself and Mike, is Sarah going, Mike, to the rifle course on the Friday?
She'll be there, but she's on babysitting duty.
Okay.
So my wife will have someone to talk to. Great. Great. Yep.
Good, because Sarah wants someone to talk to, too.
yeah, so Gavin, there will be a few of the spouses there on the Friday. We can give them the code to the clubhouse, and they can hang out inside if it starts getting cold and there's flush toilets and everything. We will be running a carbine class on the Friday through Ragnarok Tactical, which, again, all the proceeds will be going to Many to One for the charity. So bring your carbines. Andrew likes to say, you know, modern, semi-auto, magazine-fed, you know.
Are there any spots left for the carbine course?
I believe there are a couple. So not many, but yes. I have offered that if he needs more people, I will teach a second one on the other range. So sign up. Just do it. It'll be fun. It's $200, including government theft. It is worth every penny. I have run through the class myself, and now I help Andrew teach it. I guess Benny can attest to my shooting today is not so bad. Andrew is better than me.
I don't know. I think you emptied little Glock mags in less than 5 seconds. Okay, we'll make it 8 seconds, and they were all in the 10 ring, or 9, if you want to be conservative. So yeah, he can shoot well.
I did alright today.
Anyone can shoot, but then with my newbie friend, he was actually very good at instructing him how to shoot as well. So it's not just a good shooter, he can also teach.
Yeah.
So, Andrew is better than me, so you will be getting some good quality instruction. Andrew was number one for CQB in Ontario last year, so it'll be a great time. So yeah, but don't worry, if the spouses come and hang out at the range on the Friday and they've got nothing to do, there will be extra spouses and we'll find them activities to do if they get bored, don't worry.
the daycare option.
Yeah.
So registration fee is $40 for the charity shoot, and does that include one of Tim's fine t-shirts that are actually quite good?
It does. Tim and I designed the logo myself actually. I designed it and then he tweaked it. It's going to be a variation on our podcast logo, but with the charity shoot logo in the center.
Excellent.
Nice.
And then I'm sure we'll have some other shirts on for sale as well. So if you haven't picked up your Bayonets Out for Harambe t-shirt yet, there should be some available at the shoot as well. So.
Okay. And if you guys
have any swag for your shows, by all means, you know, bring them and we'll sell them as well at the table.
You also have the pub nights?
Yes. One of them is going to be at Buffalo Wild Wing, which is right next to the Days Inn and the Delta, where a good chunk of us will be staying. The other one we have yet to decide, but it'll also be somewhere that is walking distance from those hotels so that, you know, people don't need to drive and do all of those things, because we want everyone to be safe and responsible.
That's good. That's awesome.
Excellent.
Yep. So where can people register one last time?
You can register at www.canadianpatriotpodcast.com, and then just look up on the upper right, there's a button that says 7th Annual Podcast Charity Shoot. Click that, and then you can follow those directions and register there, and, you know, bring your $40 cash to you.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah, because you're going to want to shoot the plate rack.
You're going to need more. Well, and you're going to want to enter at least 2 or 3 raffles. So, I don't know. There's no reason not to bring more.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll have like the barbecue fired up too. So I may be out there, cooking burgers in my plate carrier again. So
it sounds like a lot of fun.
Is there any other way?
No, I mean, you never know when those burgers are going to fire at you, you know?
Yeah.
There's some character out there who pours gunpowder on his burgers when he makes them. And I can't for the life of me remember who it is.
That sounds like a Trevor thing for sure.
Mad Dog, not Mad Dog. What's his name in the A-Team? The new one.
No.
He pours gunpowder on his burgers when he makes them.
I'm gonna start the rumor that it's Trevor then, so.
That fits.
Awesome. And I'll put all these links into the show notes so people can just follow the links to the charity shoot.
Well, it awesome. Sounds like a blast, because we were limited to one firing line last year, and it looks like you guys really carry over. So I really hope it. I hope you blow last year's figures right out of the water. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
That is our plan. I mean, we really, really want to. So, you know, we want to set the bar high for next year.
Yeah.
You know, and just keep it growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And really, it's the charities that win out of this, right? So.
Well, exactly.
I feel like someone should get IPSC Ontario in on this, because, you know, apparently IPSC Ontario sells out really quickly, so.
Yeah, but then everybody'd have to have a black badge course, and they would take control, and we'd have to pay them money, and it wouldn't go to the charity shoot, so.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. Well, I guess we don't have to do the first couple events either, because we just covered those two, didn't we?
Before we move on, we never talked about the charity.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, you know, the whole reason why we're doing this, charity? Yeah. Right in the title?
The charity is Many to One, which is a PTSD support organization for first responders. So police, fire, military, EMS, all of those people that have seen some horrible, horrible things, you know, in the course of their day-to-day jobs. You know, they need our support because they're out there putting it all on the line to keep us all safe and get us home, you know, on our worst day. So.
It's a good cause.
Yep.
Yep.
Sorry, Thomas. Now you can move on.
Okay. Before we go to the events, just like to remind people that we do have a 10% discount for Red Hill Tactical. It's
sorry, we have a 10% what?
10% off discount code for Red Hill Tactical.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense than what you said the first time. Go ahead.
I don't remember what I just said. I'm at that age. What I said 5 seconds ago is gone. Anyway, the code is RHT for Red Hill Tactical and NCS for New Shooter Canada. So if you order something, put the code in. It's in the show notes if you want it, and you'll save 10% off your order. And I'll go right into events three since we already covered the carbine course and the charity shoot. So the Florenceville Gun Club is having their fourth annual club fundraiser. Tickets can be purchased at the links in the show note. I've been waiting for Ash to give me a poster so he can put it in there, because I don't have a deadline for the end of the draw, but he just said end of September. First prize is a Tika T3 and 223. Second prize is Henry 22 lever action. Third prize is a pair of Sightron binoculars. And I think fourth, this is an Oakley prism. He put prism, but it's Oakley prism shooting glasses. There's only going to be 400 tickets printed, and I think it's $20 a ticket. We'll get some more information. We'll put the poster in the show notes.
Listener email. Letter one. Hey guys. This is from Mr. Uzi. Sorry it takes so long to email you. No excuses. I'm just lazy. They got your sixth match sold out in no time flat once registration opened. I guess it will be rounding success. And as ever, and an even bigger event this year. Sorry about that. Not much new to report on about it besides the fact that it's full and there's a huge prize table. Letter two. He sent two of them. So, second one. JR from TSC had nothing to do with the 858 fiasco. That was CZ running out of new receivers and then using NOS FA ones that they converted to SA.
new old stock full auto.
New old stock full auto ones. Okay. Converting to single semi-automatic at factory. The RCMP caught wind of this converted autos and then prohibited all the ones from a certain year of manufacture and up, I guess. I guess they didn't feel like having everyone bring theirs in for inspection. JR, however, did throw all the Swiss Arms owners under the bus while having a whizzing match with TCSC.
The original Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that.
Samples that he had brought in and sent to the lab for FRT were in fact converted autos. Nobody noticed, and they were classified non-restricted. Then, when someone brought in a classic green to TSC for some work, he noted it was different and went all crazy, with including some bats. He has multiple personality disorder and figured this was his chance to F over the Calgary Shooting Center. I could care less about his fake as F YouTube apology. He never has and never will see a nickel of my money. I'm not a communist and fully support my good friends at the Calgary Shooting Center. Oh, and Mike, I think it's hilarious that you constantly bust Tom's balls about his pronunciation. You totally threw me for a loop when you were talking to Benny about calling her on bullets. And he laughs out loud.
I think that was autocorrect there.
Yeah.
I was assuming he meant Cantalure.
Benny, I sent you a pic of some Campro load data. Check out their site for more, buddy. All of my 9mm Leica Campro 124 bullets over 41 grains of tight group.
Whoa, not 41. There's a period in there. Yeah, there's a big difference.
Grains of tight group. Yeah, I'm trying, like, the closest I can get. I think it's because my scale that I got, it's only good up to, it only does in 0.2 grains. It doesn't do 0.1.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, so I have to figure out what's going on with that.
What scale did you get?
I don't remember. It's just one of those scales, you know.
Hold on a second, I'll you know what measures things.
Yeah.
Is it electronic or is it like a beam scale?
It's a digital scale.
You just
scale.
Eyeballs it. It looks about right.
You count them out, four little grains, and then split one in half.
Yep. I don't remember. It was the cheapest one, I think. That's what I ended up getting.
Probably your mistake, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been hanging out with George too much.
I'll take the next email. Greeting, gents. Great job on episode 134. The detailed discussion of reloading for pistols is a perfect example of what George set out to do when he created New Shooter Canada. Teaching new shooters aspects of the hobby that can be intimidating to the uninitiated. Yes, I know shooting is a sport. I just haven't heard Thomas, it's a sport, not a hobby rant for a while.
Reloading's a hobby. Shooting's a sport.
A copy of your podcast has been saved for future reference. George's departure from his creation is unfortunate. However, I know the podcast will continue to be a success. Benny's growing well into his host role and is a solid contributor. Mike's openness and sharing his personal experiences brings warmth to the show, while Thomas's get-off-my-porch attitude fails to hide the depth of his firearm knowledge. NSC remains my favorite podcast. While there are occasional squirrel moments around watches, at least there is no regular archery or aviation talk. Keep up the good work, you three. Mr. Hatch, thank you. Your devoted listener, Thomas.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, Thomas.
I believe the next one is also from Thomas, yeah.
I'll read you this one then. Congratulations to Benny for earning his Maple Seed Rifleman patch today. The gentleman scored well over the minimum of 210 points, two if not three times. Mike and Thomas, you should be proud of Benny. Represented your podcast very well. He was an excellent participant who led by example in making no excuses for a poor round shot and humbly accepted the praises from the Maple Seed instructors. Well earned, Benny. Again, your devoted listener, Thomas. Excellent. Thank you, Thomas. Oh,
and we are proud of Benny.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. He was proudly sporting that patch on his hat today, so as you should be.
Yeah.
Although, how much better than Brian did you do? Because I know he just barely scraped by, at least according to his own words.
I don't know. What did Brian get?
I don't know. He said he just barely scraped by. And then his other comment was, D's get degrees. So I'm just hoping you crushed him because it's Brian.
That's a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Well,
you know, I've only met the man once. So I feel kind of bad, like, bragging on him, so.
But you,
yeah, I've only met him.
I'll brag for you.
That's fine.
Yeah. I'll brag for you. You got your AQ2 three almost every time, right?
No, I missed it. We did five, and I got it. I got my maple seed twice. I would have earned it twice.
And how many times did Brian get it?
Doesn't he have a rifleman patch? Didn't he get it when he went?
He got it when he went down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about Bolivar.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, I was talking about somebody else. So, yeah, Brian shot really well when he did his rifleman down in Michigan. I think the only time he didn't get it was the first one with his 22. And after that, he shot it every time with his AR. Brian's a very good shot. And he shot very high. Like 235s. Yeah. Yeah, he shot well.
So he's blown me out of the water. My highest score was 233.
Well, then he was just being humble. That's a first.
Shucks.
Brian Humble? Never.
All right, we got one more message, and this is from CJ. The host was using text sites and scored a 195. Thanks for the kind words, Benny. It was a great listen. So glad I met you that day and that you told me about the podcast.
Aw. Yeah, I was definitely,
That was by CJ.
Yeah, he was the host. I was definitely pushing the podcast, podcasting in general, I think, because most people there didn't listen to podcasts. So, actually when Kevin was introducing himself, he listed his resume, and then, he paused and was going to like bring it on to the next person. And I'm like, and a podcaster. And everyone looks around like, what is he talking about? I'm like, and he's like, yeah, I'm also a host on a podcast. And yeah. So there were three hosts that day.
When you guys talking about Brian, I'm assuming there was somebody named Brian at the maple seed.
No, it was, we're talking about Bolivar.
Okay. No. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, we like to make fun of Bolivar or Brian with a Y, as he's known in Starbucks.
Yeah. So please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in the comment section of our website at newshootercanada.ca. iTunes or Stitcher?
None this week.
Okay, and I believe it's 1,114 right now for our Facebook page.
So please like our Facebook page. We like getting Facebook likes. I actually do monitor them.
I saw we got a whole bunch this week, so someone's been doing something right.
I've been busy.
I was going to give credit to Benny for spreading the word.
I don't think I got that many people in the last 2 weeks.
You never
Maybe
know.
Maybe five.
Well, it's five plus five spouses. There's 10 right there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I got two guys to, I don't know if they're going to or not, but hopefully they'll register for the charity shoot, in Guelph. I met them at the steel match, told them about the maple seed. They came to the maple seed. Hopefully they'll come to the charity shoot.
Nice.
So, cool. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. Closing comments. Thomas, anything to say?
It's not show related. It's not gun related. Very upset today. Batman died. Adam West died today. That wrecked my whole day. He was my childhood hero. So rest in peace, Batman. I'm an old guy. I grew up when I was like 5 years old. That was on TV was Batman. So I was friends with him on Facebook. So I got a message from the family when he passed away.
Oh,
how's Robin holding up?
He's upset. Catwoman's upset too, but nobody's going to read Gotham City Crime anymore. That's all I could think of. But the only thing today that upset me was that Batman died and Kelly's not here and can't see, but I'm Batman. So
isn't she Wonder Woman?
Nah, well, she is now. But ever since I played the Batman song last year, she caved in and said, okay, I'm Batman. But now Batman's dead, so no more Batman jokes.
Oh, well. Mike, anything? Closing comments?
No closing comments.
He's still busy laughing at my Batman.
Okay, Gavin, you have anything to add?
I guess, yeah. Make sure you register for the charity shoot. It'll be a great time. You'll get to see us all there in person. We're probably much better looking in person and far funnier. Also tune in to Canadian Patriot Podcast Live every Monday night at 9-ish.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thomas, any shout-outs?
No, not this week.
Mike?
I want to give a shout-out to Jay, formerly of Armature Group. He had sent us an email afterwards when he heard that I had gotten a plate carrier. He mentioned that he's actually selling a set on CGN, which, by the way, I'm not buying. So if anyone other listeners are interested, there's a great set of plates up there. And he said, he gave me his number and said, oh, if you have any questions. So I think I asked him just one general question about the weight of plates. And he sent me back like this 5-page long thing about plate, and it was awesome. It was pretty much all the information I could ever have asked for about plates and plate carriers. So thank you, Jay.
I wouldn't be surprised if S&J Hardware has a deal on plates at the charity shoot. They had a deal last year too. So if you're looking for plates, they might have something at the charity shoot you can get.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'm ready to drop that kind of coin on plates yet.
Their pricing is usually really good. The only problem I have with their plates is they're just really heavy. Like, they're in that 8-pound neighborhood. My plates are about 4 pounds. So.
Okay, yeah, Jay had pretty much said, go with the lightweight plates, you'll regret it if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at, budget versus, need and all of that fun stuff. But I knew that if I had 8-pound plates, I wouldn't wear them, so it would have been a waste of money.
Yeah, that's a very good point, so.
But yeah, if anybody wants to try them at the charity shoot, I'll have them with me. So anyone is welcome to try them if they want to see what it's like to wear them and shoot with them. So
awesome. I'll probably take you up on that. There you go. We're already starting a line.
Dibs.
I think some of the guys have those S&J ones too, if you want to compare them. So.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I will run the entire charity shoot thing in plates if you want.
Our cancer shoot last year actually was you got an extra raffle ticket if you wore plates for the entire match.
Yeah, I remember promoting that.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to put that out there again.
Yeah.
Now, Tyler ran the whole match with his plate carry on last year.
Yeah. I mean, but after getting pulled out of a car at gunpoint, I'd be wanting to wear them too.
This year, he'll show up with the helmet, too.
I was just going to say that.
I was so tempted at the sportsman show to get a picture getting handcuffed and submit that to win the SWAT award at the charity shoot.
Nice.
Maybe this
year will be your year.
Maybe this year there'll be police surveillance.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'm pretty sure you guys let everyone know what's going on, so.
Yeah.
My shout out this week is to my wife as usual for letting me go shooting today, even though it was a busy day. And Gavin for letting me shoot his, VZ JR carbine and his 458 Win Mag. That was quite an experience. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Your buddy did awesome today too, so.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. So thanks for that.
You're welcome. Anytime.
And that's it. So give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook. Have a good night, everybody.
Keep your barrels downrange and smoking.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
Gavin, yes. You got anything to say?
If you're not on a watch list, you're doing it wrong.
Excellent.
I like it.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks, Gavin.
I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.